Hey everybody, welcome to the Marquez Says Show. I'm your host, Marquez Mosier, and this is my co-host, cohort, and eldest son, Austin Jordan. He and I always seem to bring out the feisty side of each other, and it leads to some very spirited conversations. There's never really any one topic. We see the world from many different perspectives, and sometimes we agree, and sometimes we don't. Either way, it gets very interesting, so sit back, relax, and have a bit of fun at our expense as we explore some of the most unexpected perspectives you'll ever hear about the world we live in. So, let's get started. Hey everybody, it's Marquez Mosier. This is the Marquez Says Show. This is 2024, our first episode of the year. We've been hit or miss the last couple years, but you know what? We have got some seriously good topics lined up for you this year, and we're going to start it off with an introduction to my co-host, my co-conspirator, my cohort, Austin Jordan. Say hello, Austin Jordan.
Chicka chicka. My name is Austin. You may know me from things that I've done before.
This is not indicative of what you will get when we release the podcast for his album, but you know.
And welcome to 2024. Isn't it wild to think that people born in 1998 are 63 now? God, where does the time go?
What the?
We are closer to 2040 than we are 2007.
Okay. So, yeah, let's have that math lesson. All right.
Wild.
Absolutely wild. Speaking of 2024, what are some of the things that you are looking forward to?
Landing on the moon.
Again?
Yeah. I'm also really, really excited for... Does Deadpool 3 come out this year? I hope so.
I don't know.
If it doesn't, then I'm excited for... That movie was actually pretty good. You should rewatch it. I'm excited for the new Beverly Hills Cop 4 that they're releasing.
That should be interesting.
I'm excited to see what kind of shambles happen. Because it's an election year.
Speaking of movies, just on that topic before we randomly go off into the other stuff. Did you ever wonder why they just don't have a Lethal Weapon to wrap it up?
I mean, they are. Mel Gibson's directing it.
Oh, they are going to do one more one, huh? Or at least, or restart the franchise, I'm sure.
They're going to do one more. But I do think it's kind of funny because if anybody watched the fourth movie, which admittedly I might be one of the only 25 people to have seen the fourth Lethal Weapon movie, like they wrap it up in a nice way. Like you don't really need to make another. They even set it up. They even set it up for new characters to do it. But except that was like 25 years ago now. So
yeah,
so
exactly. Like, they would be the age.
Yeah, like so it doesn't even. I don't know. But Mel Gibson's a good director.
That should be interesting. I'm always interested in the movies and stuff coming out because every year everybody says the same old thing, and yet every year. There's always a surprise. There's always something. Something comes out good. Something that surprises everybody. The new blockbuster, blah, 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 blah. So it movies just kind of go right on along. And I'll be interesting to see what other entertainment industry I got. As I may have mentioned before, I got myself a Meta Quest 2. I didn't want to shell out for a Meta Quest 3. I cheapened out and got one. And I did my first workout, and that was crazy.
Really?
The VR, oh my goodness, it was crazy. But it was great. I mean, it was like, a 25 minutes, you're just like in the center of your living room, and you can break a sweat, and it was kind of like, oh my God, like this is literally a true workout. And I was really impressed, and I can only imagine where the VR technology and everything is going to be going shortly here. So, and that was just with something that's average, I guess. I mean, I don't think it's particularly anything like cutting edge, but
that's cool. I've never actually used a VR headset.
Yeah, it was the first time. It was the first time I had it. I was curious about it, and then I was also hesitant, a little apprehensive, and then. Okay.
Scared? Were you even a little terrified?
No, not terrified, but
just shaking, just so scared.
Yeah, I peed a little, but that's just because I'm my age, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, but sorry, yeah,
it really is just a matter of it just feels like that you've got the immersive screen kind of like right there. I can see how you could get, discombobulated because I hit some button and then it started. There was no stationary point, so it felt like I was in a gyroscope, and that was like, oh, okay. That messed me up. But it really is, so once you get in and get used to it, that is just kind of a, oh, okay. I mean, you catch on really quickly with the hand controls and so on and so forth. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but that was cool. So that'll be interesting to see how much more that advances through this year. The technology, it's always interesting to see that.
Yeah.
So
I wonder. Yeah, that will be interesting to see.
But you're right about that covering the entertainment. There's always stuff, and by the end of the year, entertainment wise, there'll always be. It's almost the same cycle of stuff. It's just switches out the people, names, and places, but it's kind of generally the same thing.
That's true. I mean, especially I feel like in movies, I feel like video games do a good job of keeping things fresh and new and telling different types of stories. But mainstream movie-wise, I mean, let's just look at last year. Let's think about the years before it, too. And I hope there's a little bit of variation. It's all the standard type. Like, action comedy movies have replaced a traditional comedy movie. You get a million of those. And then you get that biopic that comes out. In like blows everybody away, but it's like it's not all that new. I will say, when I say biopic about last year, I am not actually referencing Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer was pretty fresh. Oppenheimer was good, but that's also Christopher Nolan.
Well, like you said, though, it could be, the movies could be varying degrees of
quality. It's not to say of quality, anything
yeah,
of the
but
quality.
It's still a biopic. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, but it is generally the same type of stuff, and that's fine. I mean, you know, every once in a while you'll get something that's different. I mean, I know, was it last year that was Everything Everywhere All at Once, or was that the year before?
That was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was.
You know,
yeah.
You have something like that, and you kind of go, okay, well, that was a little different. But, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That was definitely fresh and, like, exciting.
Oh, what I really want to know is whether or not, you know, which Halloween movie they're going to come out with. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, are we really going to go another year without a new Halloween movie? I mean,
didn't they release a Halloween movie last year? Oh, no, I guess it was at the end. Didn't they just release Halloween Ends, like, at the end of 2020? When was it?
No, I think that was
2022.
It was
like the end of 2022.
Yeah, 2022. So 23, we didn't have anything. Although, Mickey Mouse, you got two Mickey Mouse horror movies coming out. So, you know, one's already done, because the original patent for Steamboat Willie
expired. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. So that's
that version of Mickey Mouse.
I know that they were making Winnie the Pooh horror movies, which I want to see.
Blood and Honey.
Yeah, I want to see those. I didn't know they were doing one for Steamboat Willie, though.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's that version of Mickey Mouse that they have it. So
yeah.
So that should be. So like I said, yeah, it'll be interesting that the, you know, business. I guess in the future of business, I mean, April and I are obviously pay attention to the real estate markets and stuff, and I'm assuming interest rates will go down. You know, I mean, but that's so cyclical. It's so funny when people talk about, I mean, business or the economy in general, but just even real estate, it's like, you can literally put a graph up, and every 3 to 6 years, you got this cycle going on. Sometimes it goes 4 and 8, sometimes it's 3 and 6, but it's the same kind of thing over and over again. So I don't know why people get so up in arms about, like, oh my God, we're going to have a crash. Well, yeah, it happens. Like every couple years. I mean, what is surprising about this? So
when it crashes, will the average late 20s, early 30-year-old be able to buy a house again? Or when is that happening? When does the cycle allow for that to happen again?
You know, you know what? It, on a quote-unquote serious note, all of that can happen because if you have a good credit score, you can qualify for FHA loans. You can qualify for low income or down payment assistance and stuff, and you can still get a house. But it's a matter of whether or not you want to spend. I mean, interest rates make a difference. So that's the thing where the payment. Yeah. But even, you know, even that, you can still get something if you truly wanted to. The biggest thing, though, is depending on where you want to live. Because, you know, what's more important to you, living where you want to live or having, like, owning the house? Because you can go somewhere else that may not be the ideal geography you want, but you can have a house and, you know, all the things that go with it, yard, whatever, you know, whatever's important to you. But
that's true.
That, you know, and nowadays, with work being the way you can, with as much remote work, it's not nearly as limiting to, you know, you're locked to a physical job that you have to go to. So
that's true. And that is nice. One of my coworkers, who's also a pretty good friend at this point, he is in the market. He was looking for a new house to buy, and he found one for $85,000 just outside of St. Louis. Like, that's nothing. That's like no, I mean, to buy a house, that's nothing. That's dirt cheap. Yeah. But it was funny. He didn't end up buying it. There were reasons, obviously, that it was $85,000. But like the house itself, the inside was gutted. It was renovated. It was brand new. But of course, it's not really buying anywhere. Nobody wants to live outside of St. Louis. And there was an RV trailer that they can't make it move. And it was just on the property, close to the property. And so it's like, well, there's reasons. But
right, and but you're right, though. Had he been willing to kind of go through all those hoops, you end up with a really good deal. And if you can hold on to it in a couple years, the neighborhood improves. Yeah, next thing you know, you've made some money.
For a good amount. Yeah, yeah. That
all of that's going to be interesting. I just take it in stride. I'm sure we're going to have lots of changes. It always is, but. You know, the biggest thing that's you're right about that's going to dominate the news cycles is the wars and the elections.
For sure.
Wars and the elections. So we haven't actually ever talked about the wars, I don't think. So, I mean, now that Ukraine war has been going on for a while, I mean, that's been over a year. Like, where do you stand on that? What do you think the U.S. should be doing? What do you think the U.S. should not be doing? I mean...
I don't even, I am nowhere near qualified to be able to give an educated take on this. My opinion is that we should help people that are on the side of wanting to do better for themselves, for their family, for their lives, for freedom, etc. So obviously I support fighting for that, and it, from what I understand, that is what Ukraine is doing. I don't know that to be fact, but from what I understand, that is what it seems to be.
Actually,
in favor of that.
It is. It actually the biggest argument against that people will say. It's funny because if you went back 20 years and certainly if you went back to 25, 30 years, there wouldn't even be a question as to whether or not we would be standing with Ukraine, supplying them what they needed, and pushing back against Russia. But you got this new sense of isolationism that's creeped in, and people forgetting the history and the lessons from the past wars, and saying that, well, we shouldn't get involved, and we shouldn't, you know, our money shouldn't be going to them, and blah, blah, blah. And they have no idea in the context of the bigger picture that's involved, because they're in their small little world. They're not thinking of the U.S. as a global power. It's just, it's actually kind of disheartening. But I've told you before, though, the further we get away from World War II, the less and less I feel we're on the track that needs to be where it needs to be. Because it slips right back into the whole, no, it's not our problem.
Well, and I think that there's some truth to that argument. I do think that there is something to be said about the U.S. does not have to be the world police. And I do agree with that. But in the case – but there's – I mean, we have two wars going on right now. And I think that there's very different views on both of those wars.
Oh, the second one is totally different.
And it's funny to watch which populations are in opposition of each side, because you have the older generations not in favor of the Ukraine stuff. And then you have the younger generation not in favor of the Palestine conflict. I would be very curious to listen and become more educated. I've just been too tired and too busy to understand some of the more geopolitical reasons as to why, because I'm sure there are. But
well, imagine this. Go ahead.
No, I was just getting to finish the thought, though, is... And to kind of step it away from that in a bit and make it a bit more macro. Again, though, I do understand the thought behind we don't need to decide everything. The U.S. does not need to be involved in everything. Let other people do other things. Totally fine. But in the case of Ukraine and Palestine, I think it's kind of obvious. It's like Russia, not an ally. Russia going after a country of which that is is vulnerable to something like that without outside help. Not good. We don't just let that happen. I'm on the side of like, yes. Now, do I think we need to necessarily send billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars? I don't know. I don't know what it looks like.
You're right.
Probably not. Probably. But I mean, I don't know.
No, and you're right. Then that's where things get a little tricky because there it can't just say blank check. But on the other hand, it's hard to say that you can't necessarily say, oh, well, there's a limit to what we're going to support you, because then Russia just waits it out.
You just wait it out. So, exactly. So strategically, what sense does that make? Yeah. So right.
And it makes, and then some of the difference, I've always kind of been torn with this because I understand that the world or the U.S. shouldn't be the world police.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the way that I think is a good statement to start as a base level. But the problem is whenever shit goes down, especially in the world, everybody turns to the U.S. and goes, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And then you turn around and be like, oh, so now you want us to be the world police. You know, that kind of, you know, that part. And then the second part of it, the other half of it that I look at, and I sometimes kind of go, like, right now, I was talking with April about how with the Israel and the Palestinian, the Gaza, and then Ukraine and stuff. And sometimes, and it's not often, and I don't really, this is just tongue-in-cheek. It's not a real take. It's just a tongue-in-cheek. But I sit there and go, why can't, we'll just be the adult in the room, and we tell Russia, get the hell out, otherwise we're going to take you out. Israel, go to your room. You're misbehaving. Palestine, here's your people. Here's your land. Hamas, we're coming after you just like we did with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Everybody, just go to your rooms. We'll call you out when everything is ready and done. But, of course, everybody would be all up and, I mean, the world would be like, what the hell? Who gives you the right to do all that, blah, blah, blah? And rightfully so. Yeah. And rightfully so.
Well, that would legitimately start a giant conflict across the world. That would, like...
As a practical matter, it would be at least a lot of talk and a lot of, what do you think you're doing, blah, 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 blah. And then, but, of course, this is the kind of thinking that leads to the whole... Oh, so a dictator who can do everything can bring peace and stability. But when you have this messy thing like democracy, so it's like I said, it's tongue in cheek. It's not that I mean to actually do that. But it's kind of also like every once in a while, it would be good for the U.S. to do a little flex and be like, don't forget what we can do. We're choosing not to. But we could if we wanted to, you know, that kind of mentality. But it's... Again, I say it tongue in cheek because I don't really want the U.S. to do that. But, you know, sometimes I wonder, it's kind of like the bully thing. It's like, punch the bully back in the face and be like, hey, you pushed us. You kept pushing us, you know?
Yeah. And I think that would make sense if something were to happen on U.S. soil. Like, if something happened on U.S. soil, then I think they would do
that. Or U.S. people.
Yeah, or U.S. people.
Or a significant U.S. population.
I don't know. Yeah,
well, that's the keyword. I said it's significant.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I was about to say, was because I was about to go on the thought of like, no, but significant, yes. But also there's something to be said, though, is it's not the same. Like if we were to escalate something like that today, there are numerous other superpowers that can escalate it to the same level we can. They might not have the same type of armory or something like that we do, but you don't need to. You just need to have a couple.
I wouldn't call them a superpower, though, because they would be like one and done or a handful and done. You know what I mean? They wouldn't be a superpower. It would almost be like if we wanted to wait them out, assuming we're not talking about like an actual nuclear war, because that's a little different. But even if we were talking about nuclear weapons, we still have more than anyone else.
Yeah, but the problem is that... But you only need three.
Correct. That's what I meant. But that's the thing, though. I don't think any of those other countries, and I guess it's kind of... The proof is in the pudding that it's because they haven't, that any of them are willing to do it either, because it's mutually assured destruction. I mean, they don't really gain anything by it.
I think that if we were to do something to an ally or something that was against Russia's wishes with nuclear weapons, they would go for it. I think at that point it would be over. Like, I don't think that, I think it's over at that point. Like, if nukes, if we involve nukes or they involve nukes or whoever involves nukes at that point, I do think it's over. Like, bye, civilization. Like,
yeah, I don't think so. I think it's been, I think there's been so many other reasons that they could have been used up until this point. But I mean, who knows? You get somebody who's just stupid. I mean, literally, that just doesn't understand. But it's interesting, though. This
like a
back
dictator
to the whole...
that's old and towards the end of his life that's proven to be narcissistic.
But even then, it's kind of like, okay, great. But, you know, how much control would they probably, I mean, truly have if they've got people below them that are the ones who would actually have to carry it out and be like, wait, you're killing me, dude. You know, I'm not going to do it because you're going to kill me and my family and all blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought puzzle because it's something that'll just never go away. This conversation is a conversation that's been had every single day since, August 6th, 1944?
Yeah, whatever the date was.
I can't remember the date. Might have been 45. Yeah,
it was in the summer of 45.
Yeah, and I don't remember the exact, I think it's like August 6th or something like that. But like, and that conversation will not go away until everybody dies. Like, it's something that exists forever now, from this point forward.
Yeah, and I think it'll probably, I mean, even right now, though, nobody seriously thinks that there'll be any sort of nuclear weapons detonated. So that's a good thing.
To play devil's advocate, though, do we know that to be true? Biden's building a bunker. Zuckerberg's building a bunker.
Musk has a bunker. Yeah, blah blah blah.
I'm not even saying that's my opinion. I'm just saying, like, it's not inherently true. People could just be not speaking on it because they know better, and they're like, it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it's because those people can, so they figure, I might as well just in case. It's not a waste of their money, but it's also something that makes you feel good. You know, see how prepared I am, you know, because the world's going to hell. And, you know, if the world does go to hell and blah, blah, blah. But yet they've been saying that for the last 60 or 80 years. I mean, again, it's kind of like, okay, well, yeah, we've heard this one before. The threat of it is greater than the actual use of it. You know, so like you said, I think this conversation will go on and on and on just because there is nuclear weapons. But I highly, highly doubt that it'll ever get to the point where, you know, they'll be used. So
I think if they're ever used again, it's not going to be out of any tactical reason whatsoever. There's no tactical advantage to using a nuke with today's weapon scale. It'll only be when people decide, whoever decides first is like, I am comfortable saying we destroy the Earth. It'll be whoever decides that and that owns nukes is essentially.
Yeah, and I just don't think that'll happen. So,
yeah, we'll see. One of the interesting things about that is we have no say in it. That's that's the other thing that I think is scary for a lot of people is that, and also weird because you never think about it, is that's not going to come down to some democratic decision. No. You're not going to ask people to vote on that. That's just going to happen. That's very strange.
Yeah, it's the messiness of democracy, dictatorship, strongmen. I mean, and you know, that's a good segue into whether or not we think about what this whole 14th Amendment thing, you know, with Trump and the ballot. Because, I mean, that's going to be the Supreme Court decision. And it's going to be soon as to whether or not he can or cannot, you know, be on.
Yeah, don't you have to be convicted, though?
No.
Don't you have to be convicted
actually, the actual wording of it only says, basically, it just says that either
been a part of
instigates, part of, or provides comfort to the insurrectionists. That's the reason why there's nothing that says, that's why there's an ambiguity. There's no court. There's nothing that says there's no crime. None of that is in the actual wording of it. So that's part of the
problem. Yeah. But I think what they're looking for is something that objectively somebody could point to and be like, this is why. Like, and I think that's why a conviction helps, is they can say, no, he was.
But there is nothing. There is no. But that's not what it says in order to do it. So
if we that's the point. If we let that decision come up to our current Supreme Court, they're not saying that. There's no way they're going to say that.
Why not? It's the Constitution.
He appointed like three of them.
Yeah, but it's in the Constitution. Are they actual conservatives? Are they actually reading it like basically for the same? Austin, the same arguments they use for the Second Amendment and the overturning Roe would be the exact same arguments that you would say that the 14th Amendment applies.
That's giving them way too much credit. I absolutely don't think they would. Absolutely not.
I think you're being way too short-sighted, because I could easily see them looking at it and going, well, one, the Supreme Court, we have the lowest trust we've ever had. Two, now not all of this is public, but I mean, probably none of this, but that's one thought that they have. Two, they know that Trump is bad. They know it. Everybody knows it. Anybody who isn't a supporter, they understand his danger. So three, they literally have it put right in front of them, a way to look and go, hey, it's the Constitution. We are upholding the Constitution. This is the problem. Yes, and by the way, Colorado court did say, they did find that he was a part of the insurrection. So that they have a court, there is a court that says you were an insurrectionist or you supported it.
But most people think that what Colorado did is going to be overturned by the federal Supreme
Court. But it's not based on necessarily the insurrectionist part. It was just whether or not, you know, the power
the authority
or what that trial, that particular trial equated to something enough for it. But my point being is the third thing is them, they could actually, it basically provides them an out to not only gain trust, gain some, and if they go against him, it doesn't show that they're just a tool of that right wing. So they gain some trust back. They actually can save some of their face and on just the legitimate reason of knowing that he's not going to, he can't win, which, you know, would be a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, so, but why do so they need to say? Why do they need to save face? They don't need to. There's no incentive.
Yes, they
do.
Yes, they do. Because right now
they're on it for life. What difference does it make to them? Clarence Thomas is one of the most hated. He's like,
it's human nature.
That dude's been hated for like 20 years. It doesn't seem to influence him none.
Well, of course not. I didn't say that it's not going to be him. I didn't say all of them.
Yeah.
But the newer ones, Kavanaugh and Barrett. Stuff like that. They don't want to see that. They don't want to be seen as just pawns that Trump, just puppets of Trump. Especially if you get to that level, that's not what they're going to want to see. And when it really comes down to it, there's some ambiguity. There really is. But the reality is that he did. I mean, it does fall into the camp. When you talked about, you know, somebody with the nuclear stuff, about somebody finally deciding. That's what it's going to take here, too. It's going to take somebody finally deciding, going, you were an insurrectionist. You were part of it.
You know what's interesting about that, like the parallel, the line drawn from those two comparisons, was that I explicitly said that it won't be a democratic decision when somebody makes a decision to like launch the nukes. And then drawing that with, that'll be the decision to not let Trump or basically to say, under 14, Trump isn't allowed or whatever. I just think that's interesting because that's the biggest argument against the Supreme Court, is that it is not democratic. Like the decision making of it. And not to say that, this is actually going off in a different direction. This isn't to disagree with what you're saying, because inherently, that's true. But I just think that's kind of interesting, though, is like,
it is part of democracy. It's one of the three branches of our democracy.
Yeah, but loosely, they can make whatever decision that they want to make once you get elected. There's nothing that
Congress
does about it.
Actually, Congress could do it. Congress could codify Roe. Congress could make laws basically that banned guns. you know, assault rifles. I mean, Congress has that power, the executive orders of the president. Now, they could all kind of check each other, but they can also outweigh each other, too.
Yeah. Well, of course, you could pass a law the normal way. Executive orders would be argued as not.
Those are harder. Democratic, those are harder. But I just.
Yeah.
I just meant, though, that.
Yeah,
that
agreed.
So that's. It'll be interesting to see how that rolls out, because there is decent arguments on both sides.
Sure. Yeah.
But I really think most people need to look at it as almost a save face kind of escape route, escape pod, that you're not doing anything that isn't by the quote unquote law, by our democracy, because it's there. Is it obscure? Was it something that they never remember? 150 years ago, they never thought it would be applied to ex-president of the United States. But that doesn't make it any less powerful. I mean,
my thought, and agreed. My thought on this is, don't ban president or ex-president, whatever you want to call him, Trump, from running. Don't do it. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's just going to embolden, enrage more supporters of his. I think if we're so sure he can't win, let him run. Beat him. Like, and if Donald Trump gets elected
I don't think we deserve it.
Like,
no, I don't think you take the chance. Because you know why? The general populace, I don't think he would win. I mean, I don't think he'd get any more votes than he would last time. But that's possibly, though, because in case the Democrats run somebody who's not as strong and people don't like, so it's possible that he could. But there's also another thing to think about, that if you have this clause in the Constitution, do we listen to it? I mean, do we follow it? I mean, is that what we do, or is it not?
No, I think it gives people a scapegoat, and I think that is more dangerous long term, is to give these people more of a scapegoat. I think if we go up there and we beat him again without using that escape hatch. Like, I think that's more of a definitive ending than it would be if we just say, you can't do it. If we say you cannot do it, that just forever radicalizes them. Forever. Like, I don't think
that would happen? But you seriously think that they're going to accept the election?
No, you but it doesn't matter.
That's what it does.
But
yes,
it does.
No, hold on.
Matter less.
Hold on. No, it's not. Because you're assuming that their reaction... That your reaction to them losing is going to be different than their reaction to if he was actually banned. It's going to be the same. They're never going to believe it's a legitimate election. They're going to feel like it. They're going to think the same thing. They're going to be maybe and possibly even more outraged because, oh, my God, you know, because what happens, Austin? What happens if Trump's off, Nikki Haley runs, and Nikki Haley wins? Republicans are in power. What are they going to say? That the election was fraud?
No, but they won't. Nikki Haley's not going to beat Trump or Biden.
Oh, I think she could. Absolutely. I think there's not that many. Actually,
And one of the big reasons is if Trump says, do not vote for Nikki Haley, you're going to lose 30% of the Republican Party and not vote for Nikki Haley. The Republican Party's going to self-destruct.
That's great. I don't see a problem here. That they did it to themselves, because what happens when they at the end of the day and they look at all the people that didn't vote and go, oh shit, had we voted, we would have defeated him. Because Biden has also alluded to the fact that
they're not going
to
look at it critically like that.
Because if Biden, well, yes, they will. The people in power will. Biden has already alluded to the fact that if Trump wasn't running, then he may not run. So if Trump is banned, there is no guarantee that Biden is going to be especially when you have Newsom in the wings. And you've got some other people that are willing to step right in and pick up the election.
I don't know about that.
So
Biden
there is
thing.
A
I
lot
think he'll
of things.
Run.
But he has already alluded to the fact. He's said it. He's stated that yes, he would be giving it serious thought to not running again if it was anybody other than Trump.
They're running out of time.
I know. But that's part of why it's such a huge decision and needs to be done sooner than later.
Yeah, but who makes that decision? The Supreme Court is just one day going to put it on their docket and be like,
it already is.
We're going to make the most monumental decision in U.S. history.
It already is. It's already been appealed. And they understand the gravity of the fact that it needs to be done sooner than later. I mean, it has to be done because all these states, there is multiple states now that are saying yes, saying no. So it has to be ruled on by the Supreme Court because there needs to be some consistency across the board. So yeah, this isn't a matter of if, this is a matter of when. And they're not, and you know, they know that it has to be done sooner than later. That's why I said this election cycle is going to be, I mean, it's funny. I last time when everybody said it's so different in 2016, when it's so different, you know, like once in a lifetime, oh, it's different. It's like, no, it's not. They say that every year. This one, no. Especially if Trump actually doesn't, because they use the insurrectionist clause, it truly will be a first.
the reason that I feel like this he won't get barred is they've had years, four years since it happened to make this decision, and they haven't.
But nobody,
everybody knew that Trump was going to run again.
They didn't consider it the first year or two afterwards. They were debating whether or not, was it just a riot? Was it an actual insurrection? Was it just a peaceful protest that got out of hand? Man, there are all those circulations, all those theories were still kind of bubbling. And it was kind of a matter of, is he going to run again or isn't he going to run again? And then when he decided, oh shit, I have too much legal liability, I need to run again because that's a great shield. Then it became a little bit more of, wait, okay. And let's be honest, it's kind of creative. You got to give credit to some people thinking about, oh, okay. You know, there's one aspect of sometimes when you talk about beating them, you know, it's a lot like any sports or any competition. You use what's available. If it's in the rules, you use it. Now, not everybody will agree with it. And some people will be like, oh, that's bad sportsmanship. You should have just, pass interference calls, for example. You know, it's kind of like you just throw it up and you hope you get a pass interference call. Yeah. Because guess what? You know, is that really the best way to, you're not actually playing. You're not actually trying. No. You're just trying to play by the rules. You're just using the rules that are available to you. That's what that's doing. That's what's going on here. They're using the rules that are available to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good argument, and it's a good analogy. It's a very good analogy. I mean, I don't want Trump to win, so I don't really, and nor do I really think he would, and obviously I don't think he'd be a good president. Sorry, I dropped something. I was trying to pick it up before I forget where it was. But I do have serious concerns that if something were like that were to be invoked, anybody that's sort of on the fringe about Trump is just going to get pushed in the opposite direction. And I think really that's schism.
Do you really think there's anybody on the fringe?
I do. And I think that there are people that are scared. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that we saw last time. And everybody was like, no, he could never win. He could never win. And they're underestimating how many people are scared. And they're not scared for legitimate, logical reasons. They're scared because they're seeing some echo chamber of information.
Yeah, but I don't believe there's any more of them.
I don't believe that. I think maybe there might not be as many. But it doesn't matter because a small population of it can amplify and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
But they're not. No, they can't. I disagree because I don't think that he can't gain more power. I mean, more people, more base.
But it doesn't.
That's not going to happen.
But the problem with I think this is the most succinct way for me to, my biggest problem with invoking the 14th on this is it becomes bigger than Trump at that point. And then people are going to be like, well, if we did it for Trump, they could do it for anybody else. It sets the precedent. Now, is it the right precedent to set? Maybe. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying, but it makes it bigger than just Trump. If we beat Trump in a normal election, it's just about him. And it's just about the rigging against him. But if we invoke the 14th, then it creates this boogeyman that the U.S. federal government can invoke this against anybody that they think they don't want in power. I'm not saying it's true, but I am saying that is going to be an argument that will happen forever.
I think it's already there, Austin. That's already been planted. That's why there's still people like, two-thirds of Republicans still feel that Joe Biden didn't legitimately win the election. It's already there.
But two-thirds, and we've had this argument about polling, is two-thirds of who participated It's not two-thirds of the entire population of Republicans in the U.S.
No, but it's still yeah, but if you even take your point, this is one where even if you – this actually even goes to your point even more. Don't throw out the poll. Just throw out the poll, and you would still find that the Republicans that is a general Trump supporters, especially Trump supporters and even some that are just Republicans – they feel like you're saying, I agree with you. I'm actually agreeing with you. I'm saying you are spot on. I'm saying you're spot on about the fact.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that nothing is going to change. They already feel that way. So I my feeling is like, look, they already feel that way. They're not changing their attitude. They're not going to believe anything different. So you know what? Fine. So be it. You already think the government is out to get you, whether it is or not, is irrelevant. Here's the Constitution. If you're under 35, you can't run. If you're not a natural born citizen, you cannot run. And why? Because it says so in the Constitution. If you were part of an insurrection, blah, 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 you cannot run. It's right there. So what's more important to you, following the Constitution or following your cult leader?
Yeah, but we already know that there's – yes, I agree with you. Everything you just said – perfect world, right.
Some people in an awkward situation, Austin. It does make some of those people kind of go, I mean, could it possibly be that that's finally where someone goes, I'm not going to follow him over the Constitution.
If they hear that, though, most people aren't going to listen to it or find a place to hear it. They're just going to be in their world, in their echo chamber that doesn't break it down that way.
Then it doesn't matter. Because they're not... they're not hearing anything more. It's not going to be amplified. They're already hearing the worst case scenario. They're already hearing everything you're saying. They're already feeling everything you're saying.
Yeah. I think it codifies, though. I think it gives them something to, like a physical example that they can point to, and it's a codifiable example. And yes, they could do that if he lost the election.
You mean impeachments aren't that? You mean two impeachments?
They don't think his impeachments are legitimate in the first place.
Exactly. So the government, that's my point, is that a government thing that they tried to do within the government mechanism, the mechanism of our government, they already threw that out. So what's the point? What's the difference then? They already feel this way. It's not going to change anything.
Maybe.
My point, is that it's the same thing.
I think it's a
government thing. It's a government thing that they already don't trust it. So it's like, all right, fine. You don't have to trust it. We are not catering to the 33% or 30% of the population that is going to say, oh, my God, the government is against Trump and they're out to get him. It's fine. Believe what you want to believe. We're going to move on. The rest of the country is going to move on. Trump is going to get taken off the list. He's not allowed to run because he was an insurrection. You want to believe it? Great. If you don't want to believe it, great. But this is where the country is going. This is what's moving on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could say it about segregation. You could say it about LGBT same-sex marriage. You could go down the list of those things and say,
it's timing.
Sorry.
Again, fundamentally, I don't disagree at all. But I think that if that was the case, they should have done it. They fucked up. Timing is bad now. The optics are bad.
Well,
you're
going to
do that in an election year. You're going to do that and all that stuff. It's like, I don't really disagree. I think that they should have, like, shit or get off the pot. It's been this thing that they've been talking about for years. They should have done it. If that was what they wanted to do, it should have happened
I've only heard a lot of this by last year, really. It's where someone said, I don't even think people realized it until some constitutional scholar kind of was looking over the Constitution and went, hey, wait a second. There's this obscure 14th Amendment here that says, I wonder if that would be applicable to, you know, Trump. And then went, there's an actual argument that could actually.
Shouldn't the Supreme Court have realized that already?
They can't do anything until somebody brings it to their attention.
Yeah, but why? I don't know if that's true. They could probably introduce something if they wanted.
No, absolutely not. It's like same thing as called standing. You have to have standing even at a local court.
My point being is they could have introduced that to some other like hush-hush way to like some other thing to have it be tried. But the point that I was going with that is moving away from that, my main point that I'm trying to get to here is it's not good timing and it looks bad. And if any other country were to do this, us as Americans would be like, well, that doesn't look right. This looks like a coup.
That doesn't make it, but it doesn't make it wrong. Wait, what are you talking about? It looks like a coup. You're talking about literally something. We have a document that's 250 years, well, whatever the 14th Amendment, whenever that was a civil war. So that was 150 years ago, 1860, so like 160, 170 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have it, something that all the states voted on by a majority to put it into our most sacred document. This isn't something that's quote-unquote, I mean, yes, the optics are bad. You're right. I mean, that's true. The optics are bad. The timing is bad.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you don't do it.
I think if we think we can beat them, we should beat them. I think for sure if they're going to invoke that 14th, then they need to do it, like, quick. They cannot wait until right before. That will cause even more turmoil.
Well, they know that, absolutely. That's why the Supreme Court, that's what I started this.
I don't know if they do. I feel like the Supreme Court could wait until the last minute, invoke it right before they print ballots or whatever. And then
Austin, they're already printing ballots for the primaries. And by the way, that was the second part of this, which we don't necessarily have to go into too. But the second part of this was a majority of people think that from on a primary level, that this doesn't really apply. The primary level, this does not, this rule, this constitution doesn't. That's the biggest argument, that at the primary level, it's not really as applicable. But for the general election, absolutely. Because the general election is is a federal thing. I mean, not a federal thing, but it's a United States wide. And some of the conversation was that they may kick off or reverse the primary stuff, these ones because of the primaries and stuff, but even some of the courts that denied it, the states of the courts that denied it, left it open and said, we can revisit it with the general election comes up. Like, they even said it, that this can still be revisited when the general election comes up, which is leaving the door open of saying that, okay, we can't do this for the primary because we can't tell the political party who to put on their ballot and stuff. But for the general election, yes, that's different. That's a different election cycle. That's a different election rules and so on and so on. That's when you can then bring this up, which makes it even worse, though, according to like what you're saying, because that means it has to wait until, you know, further down the line. But you, according to the courts, like that may actually be literally, like they say, we can't decide this until someone brings it to us about the general election. And that doesn't happen until, of course, all the primaries are done. So you really are kind of stuck in this catch 22 of, okay, I mean, and by the way, doing it last year, you couldn't, because you had to have it relate to a general, especially if they interpret it as a general election. Well, those only come around every 4 years, so.
Yeah, but that feels like a cop-out. Like, you could say, look, you don't have
– it doesn't – just because –
state clearly, like, if you decide to run, you cannot. Like, you cannot run for a general election.
Really?
Feel free to run for local office.
Who gives the authority to say that?
I don't know.
Who gave you the authority to say that? Well, that's the point. It has to go through the legal channels, and you cannot bring a legal challenge if there's no election. You have to have the election in order to have a legal challenge.
What's the point of this conversation? Then Trump could be bait switching everybody and then just not run last minute. Just be like, oh, yeah, never mind.
And absolutely. He could. You're absolutely right. He could just drop out. And then the Republican Party would be stuck with whatever backup that they have to throw out there. Hell, Trump could actually say it at the very end, and then the Republican Party is sitting there selling people to do write-ins.
Yeah. Seems kind of dumb. The whole thing just seems dumb. Like, what's the point of having the rule if you can't even do anything until, like,
because
the
nobody,
day before the election?
Because, no, first of all, anybody who involved in the insurrection and stuff, nobody thought that they would flaunt it and say, yeah, I was part of an insurrection. What you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And then run. That's part of it. I mean, that's a good chunk of it, that they would assume that nobody was going to actually do that. Or Or conversely, Austin, the fact that they never thought originally that they never thought that anybody who was part of an insurrection was going to ever have a legitimate chance of winning anything.
If we're so sure that the Supreme Court would say, no, this actually you weren't legally allowed to run, your candidacy is illegitimate because of the insurrection, and they can't make a decision about that in advance, then
could they remove him afterwards or something?
Yeah, then what's the why are we scared? Who cares if he runs?
Oh, well, no. I mean, that's the thing. They will rule beforehand. The lawsuits and stuff, they're not. See, because this is the problem. If they refuse to hear the case, like the state's case and stuff, then it'll be up to the states. Okay, then the states are going to do what the states do, which means some of them will be on, some of them they won't be on. But even and see, this is kind of where, in some ways, the Supreme Court, especially if you consider that they've been bought by Trump and they're going to just do whatever Trump wants, which I don't think they will. I think now they're free of his ties. They may agree with some of his conservative base values, or his base's conservative values, because they're not Trump's. He doesn't have any, but. So they may agree with that, but on the other hand, they also aren't beholden to him. I mean, it's not like they can't say, you're right, you're an insurrectionist, Trump, and you're not allowed to vote. He'll be pissed at them. He'll say, my God, you owe everything to me. I was the one who put you on there. But like you said, they can be like, yeah, thank you very much, and I'm here for life. So what you going to do about it?
So strategically, okay, so it's just occurred to me then, strategically, the Democrats should let him run.
No.
Don't push the issue.
Well, yeah, some of them
because
do.
We can
some Democrats feel like
run.
You. Well, some Democrats feel that way.
No. And this is why. Let him run. Let him win. Or win his Republican Party.
No, it's
party
not going to happen. No. I don't know. I
let
don't know if
primary.
He can be retroactively removed.
No, just let him win the primary.
Oh, you mean the primaries.
If the primaries
oh, the
don't
primaries.
Matter.
Oh, yeah.
Primaries don't
no,
matter.
That's
let
true.
Him let him snatch the whole base. If we believe the Supreme Court's going to say yes, he was
well,
a part of an insurrection.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, Austin. And by the way,
you've decimated your opponent.
Yeah. By the way, what you're saying is kind of why they say the Supreme Court will say no to the states about the primaries, keeping them off the primaries, which is kind of that, where it's like, fine, feel free to Republican Party, feel free to put him up as your candidate, and then as soon as the primaries are over and we're going to the general election, those lawsuits will be boom. Those lawsuits are going to hit again. As far as saying, nope, he's an insurrectionist, he's not allowed to be on the ballot, and then those will go up, and they may be seen again separately. It could be separately,
but we
and at that point, I mean, then they would. I wouldn't say they have to rule, but it would. They could very much lean on the Constitution and go, "Hey, buddy, sorry, this court said you were. This court said you were because various state courts have already said it,
sure,
and essentially proven it. The January 6th committee, which is a congressional committee." You know, basically stated it, and nowhere does it says he have to be charged with a crime, and nowhere does it say you actually have to be convicted. It doesn't even, you know. So,
I just
and then, but so it may play out like that, Austin. You're right; it may play out like that.
Then what's all the talk about? Well, then why are we scared? That's
because
the thing
you
that
have
I don't
to
understand.
Build up
why
to
are
it.
The Democrats? No. Why are they scared then? There's no reason to be scared if they actually believe that the Supreme Court is going to say yes.
Really?
Yes.
You've lived through Roe versus Wade, right?
That's my point. Is we don't. I don't think the Supreme Court will do it, and that's why I think people are afraid.
You answered your own question.
You saying I know, but that's my point. But you said that you sound so sure that the Supreme Court is going to say you cannot run, like you violated the 14th Amendment.
Eventually. I didn't say I was so sure of it. I said they have every reason to. I said that they have multiple reasons that, aside from just the Constitution, just from the actual wording, they have additional reasons that would help them personally, selfishly, that would make them want to look and go, oh, we can kind of actually turn this into a positive. We can actually make a decision that's going to piss off 30% of the population, maybe even 50% of the population. But that's not the part of the population that we actually care about, because technically we already agree with them 99% of the time. This time we can actually make the other side, the ones that just non-conservative, you know what I mean? The ones that are the minority, the courts can actually say, see, we're here for everyone. We're here to actually represent the United States of America. And while we've leaned heavily towards the conservatives and blah, blah, blah and stuff, when it comes to something like this and the Constitution where it's stated, blah, 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 we are here for everyone. And that's a precedent that actually it could be set that is a good precedent for the future.
Right.
That was what I said. That was where my angle was.
Yeah,
that's true.
My perspective. Yeah, that's true. I think, again, then, all the talk about what is this, like, strategically, it still makes more sense to let him win the primary.
Right, but you still have to, you have to ramp it up. I mean, you have to do the processes, the legal process, the legal challenges, find out which legal challenges may work and which ones won't, which procedures are going to work, which of the standings are going to work, what are you going to do? That's the point of why they do this now.
Yeah, well, exactly, and that's, I'm not advocating you don't start that stuff now, but they already know that. They've got the tip-top advisors in mind, they've got the legal, they've got all that stuff.
Then riddle me this, Austin, then why do some states say yes and some states say no?
It doesn't matter if some states say yes and some states say no. If on a constitutional level, we think that the Supreme Court would side with the ones that say yes.
No, that's my point, that they need they have to find out what they're going to have to present in order to do it. That's one reason the Colorado one is so important, is because the Colorado people said, was it Michigan or Colorado? Colorado, I think it was Colorado, who said, yes,
you're not
he's an
ballot.
Insurrectionist. You're an insurrectionist. No,
yes,
it must have been Michigan.
And you're not
it must have been
ballot.
The other one, because what they said was, they said basically, yes, you're an insurrectionist, but I don't have the power, we don't have the power to take you off of a primary ballot. But they basically handed it to the
right.
No, so that's my point. Is that's why they're doing it now, Austin. That's why they're doing it. They're setting it up. They're getting it all prepared, instead of just being like, duh, 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 we're gonna just twiddle our thumbs, and then all of a sudden, make the wrong misstep or make the wrong argument or present the wrong argument.
Has California introduced any lawsuit to Trump's candidacy?
Yes. And the Secretary of State said that it is not her power to take him off a primary.
But it's
already been announced. California already, they already said that we will not take Trump off of the primary ballot.
No, I get that, but what has any has?
Well, yeah, I do believe it's because it was a lawsuit. I do believe it was because something was brought to their attention.
The reason I'm asking is the. At least the way that it makes sense to me, if it has to go through this proper chain of command, is all you have to do is introduce a lawsuit the day after the primary. If Trump wins the primary...
You're not understanding what I'm saying. They are literally... It's like practice. If you want to go back to the sports analogy, they are practicing. They are literally practicing what they're going to do for when they get to the big game. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
I think that's the best thing, that they are practicing, because it happens, by the way, with all lawsuits that they want to do something with, like civil rights, LGBT, same sex, whatever it is, they do this. You have tester ones, you bring this up and you go, and then they shoot you down for a technical reason, saying that, hey, you don't actually, it's a procedural thing that you didn't do properly. So you can bring it up again, but you need to do it a different way. And they go back and they go, okay. And then they get another one. You know what I mean? It doesn't, like, for voting rights or for segregation, it didn't happen with like one lawsuit. I mean, it took lawsuits after lawsuits after lawsuits in order to build those cases, so that by the time they got to a Supreme Court, and sometimes actually even after the Supreme Court, that they are because it's not always, hey, I got to the Supreme Court, it's one time. The Supreme Court, most of the time, they won't hear it if it's a procedural thing that doesn't reach them, granted, because that's, they don't want to waste their time. But that's the point, is getting it to the point where they can be like, okay, we know what we're going to present. We already know that this court has said yes, and then the appeals said no, or vice versa. The original court said no, and the appeals court said yes. And then figure out, so, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so, aside from that...
I mean, just one last thing is, I don't know enough about it. It's very possible. It just, to me, it feels again, it just, if people, if we're so sure that we have all these avenues and all these channels to take, there seems to be a whole lot of hoopla about it. And that, I to don't me, think indicates that, that people aren't really all that secure in their plan.
That's, well, I agree. I mean, that's part, I think that's part of it. I mean, there is a lot of, that's, I think, exactly right. So I don't think you could ever take it for granted what the Supreme Court's going to do.
Yeah.
You can be reasonably sure, but if you're not, if you can't be 100% sure, then you're going to do things in order to get as reasonably sure as you can and have your backups.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. If it, I mean, if that truly is what this is, it's practice there, or maybe, or they're setting it up and they know something or whatever, then awesome. Good for them. And who knows? Maybe the fear is a smokescreen. Maybe it's not even real. Maybe it's performative. I don't know. But yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple months.
It will be interesting to see what happens in the next couple months. That's for sure. Sorry, it sounded like maybe you were going to.
No, I was. I was going to say. So we kind of touched on where we think, you know, what we think, how business is more or less cyclical. And it kind of just, there's going to be things that are going to surprise us. And there's going to be things that are just kind of mundane. We didn't even touch on AI. We could probably touch on AI next time.
True.
With what that's going to do. And we talked about the entertainment. But, I mean, what obviously the dominating story is going to be the wars and the wars in the election. So, but we will definitely try to bring you, our faithful fans, all 12 of you. We're going to we're going to try to bring you podcasts a little bit more frequently than we have in the last year or two.
We're going to have two in the chamber now. We've got this well one by the time you hear this. But the this one,
I would love,
we've already done the album release one.
And I would love to get into a little bit about what we could do. Also, obviously, a kind of a sports slash pop culture thing between what's going on with Taylor Swift, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, what's going on with some of that stuff. You know, that would be a good one. I found, I learned,
depending on who makes the Super Bowl, there could be some interesting timeline parallels too that could be drawn. Depending on which teams, because I think that there's some opportunity there right now in the current matchups. There's some repeats of decades ago that could potentially happen.
Yep. And then it just, there's some interesting stuff. And some other societal stuff with, So we got some interesting topics coming for you. So hang in there and we'll get you those. And thank you for listening. And then anything else in closing, Austin?
Well, we didn't even get to give our personal controversial opinions on who should be doing the right thing on the Israel-Palestine. It's clearly.
So remember, think more, care more, live more. And remember, you can change your life. We can change the world one decision at a time. And on that cliffhanger, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.